This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're stealing from us, and I'm upset about it. We're going to talk about that. John Solomon joins us. What's going on with Eric Swalwell? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let me warn you about something. I don't even know if warning is the right way to put it, but I'll call it a warning, that there's something that I'm dwelling on a lot. And so there's going to be a theme I come back to a lot for the future of I'm Right, right here. Here's what I'm dwelling on. And I've been dwelling on it for years. If you've been watching, you know this. The working person, the working American. I take that back. Not the working person. I'm an American. I care about America almost exclusively. The working person of America. I care because I grew up as a working person. I come from a construction family. And I have seen people struggle. I know what it is to be out of work. And I watched during COVID, this is part of the reason I freaked out on this show, I watched as working people, maybe who were just finally making it, just finally getting ahead, maybe this is you, all of a sudden had that destroyed by the government. Remember, the government shut this country down. The government created social distancing ridiculousness, mandates, everything. All that came from the government. That was a choice to be made. And I watched a bunch of rich people during that time push, I'll just stay home, do your patriotic duty, while people who work hourly jobs, who need overtime, could not make ends meet. And it made me, I'll be honest with you, extremely bitter. And I hold on to that bitterness and resentment to this day, watching as working people were dismissed and ignored. And now fast forward to today. The dollar is being destroyed. And I know, I understand that Donald Trump took over and now we've gotten inflation back under control, but back under control doesn't restore the value it had 5 years ago. It doesn't. That value is gone. So what that means is working people have watched their standard of living be destroyed. This bothers me to no end. I have so many friends like this in my own life who can't afford to send their kids to college. Their kids have graduated college, can't find a job, can't, the market, Jesse, but I just had a longtime buddy of mine, United States Marine Corps veteran that I'm friends with, we serve with, who lost his job, took him forever to find a job. Now he's working a crappy job. He can't stay. It's bothering me. It's all around me. Now, the reason I bring up all that is this. Because that is our situation, I am going to be less and less and less tolerant than I used to be about things that distract and take away from that. That is my concern. The American citizen, the American working man, working woman, the young person, old person, doesn't matter the age, who can't get ahead in this country. That is my concern. And while that is happening, I am going to have less and less tolerance for other things. Things like theft. The truth is this. This is going to be a hard truth to accept. I've been digesting it all weekend, if you want to know why I'm so upset. The truth is that this country has been pillaged for years and years and years and years and years by Americans, by foreigners, foreigners in foreign lands, foreigners we bring here, but people from all over the globe, including here, look at the United States Treasury, your tax money, my tax money. They look at it as a big bank vault to be pillaged. And every single chance they get, they are pillaging that bank vault. While people, maybe this is you, are struggling to pay the bills, we have record credit card debt, on and on and on down the list I can go. People around the globe, foreign and domestic, are pillaging this country, and it makes me so angry I could punch somebody. Here's a story. Sheila, I have to try to read the stupid name. Sherfalus McCormick, I know you're going to find this shocking, it's a hyphenated last name, Democrat congresswoman from Florida, just found guilty, violated 25 House rules. What happened there? Well, her family, well, I'm going to read it directly. Her family's businesses were used to channel $5 million in emergency COVID-19 funds into her 2021 special election campaign. And honestly, I don't even know that I just want to pick on her. She's just one of so many. Elected, unelected, scumbags in this country and in other countries who look at the treasury, your money, while you're not making it, as something that they can steal. Here was Hakeem Jeffries being asked about her.
Congresswoman Sherfalus McCormick is entitled to the presumption of innocence, like every other American. I'm a hard no as it relates to the effort to expel her, and it's going to fail.
Okay. We'll see where that goes from here. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not even dwelling on whether or not she's going to be expelled. It's not that that really gets me. Congress is broken. I hate them all anyway at this point in time. What gets me is this piece of lowlife trash took $5 million of your money. While you're struggling to make ends meet, she walked into our bank vault, threw it in her stupid purse. I'm sure it's a Gucci or something like that. You probably paid for that too. And used it to fund her reelection campaign. And like I said, I don't even mean to pick on her specifically because it's just freaking everywhere. Everywhere now. They all do it. J.D. Vance, by the grace of God, has been put in charge of some fraud. Now, we'll see to what extent he's given a leash on this, but maybe someone's finally going to burn. Ilhan, maybe?
Yeah, so we actually think that Ilhan Omar definitely committed immigration fraud against the United States of America. And I talked to Stephen Miller about this actually recently. We're trying to look at what the remedies are. That's the thing that we're trying to figure out, is what are the legal remedies now that we know that she's committed immigration fraud? How do you go after her? How do you investigate her? How do you actually do the thing? How do you build the case necessary to get some justice for the American people? There's a related issue, Benny, which is she has been at the center of a lot of the worst fraudsters in the Somalian community. So do I know that Ilhan Omar was aware that the Quality Clearing Center was defrauding the American people? I'm not certain of it, but we at least need to investigate it, because if people can commit wrongdoing without even the fear that they're going to be found out, that's a fundamental problem. So I'm worried about the immigration fraud. I'm also worried about, what did Ilhan Omar know about what was happening in the Somali community, and why was nobody looking into it?
Okay. So just to clear this up, a story I know you already know, but we now have people, communists, who were communists when they escaped foreign dumps like Somalia. They are brought here. They get citizenship here. They get into elected office here. Then they bring other scumbags from the dump they came from here into this country. And those scumbags they bring in from the dump then go on to walk into that exact same bank vault of your money to take money out of it for themselves while you can't afford to pay your credit card bill off. Have you seen the report? I know we saw a lot of Nick Shirley's reporting out of Minnesota, and I warned you at the time, many people were warning, so it's not like I was the only one, but I warned you at the time that if the fraud in Minnesota angered you, it was but the cheese sticks before your Red Lobster shrimp scampi gets there. It was but an appetizer. He's in California. Here's how that's going.
Are you guys the hospice consultants?
Yes.
Oh, can we talk to you guys?
About?
I want to open my hospice.
You want to open a hospice?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your name?
My name's Nick, but I want to open up a hospice.
I understand, but we don't take care of that.
Can I get some information?
Do you want a number?
Yeah, or give me a flyer or something. And this is the hospice consultant.
Yes. Not only hospice, hospice can help.
All right, so they say they're open right now. They won't let us into the lobby. This is no way to conduct business. We are two entrepreneurs trying to open up our own hospice.
Soaked to the bone right now.
We were denied service by the potential fraudsters, and as we were leaving, one of the fraudsters started to leave from the back in a $200,000 Maybach.
And we have a Mercedes-Benz driving up. Where can we open a hospice at? We'd like to open up a hospice. Get a Maybach just like you. So is this how I can get a Maybach by opening up my own hospice?
That's your money. You driving a Maybach? Foreign and domestic, our country has been pillaged and looted over and over and over again. And this is why Americans can't make ends meet. It grades on me. It is grading on me. I cannot stop stressing about it. I don't know what the deal is. I just can't let it go. Every other issue now, and you're going to see this. This is why I warned you at the beginning of the show. Every other issue now, everything that comes up, I've brought it up to you before, Iran, whatever, every issue that comes up, I look at it through that lens, through the struggling American and what's being done for him and how this benefits him. Now, credit where credit is due, Scott Bessent has been a pretty outstanding spokesman for the Trump administration. He looks like he's got a plan to maybe track down some of these dirt balls.
I don't know, Joe, but it's very exciting. I think it's going to be a great way to ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse, starting in Minneapolis, which has been ground zero. So we are encouraging whistleblowers who know about fraud, people who are stealing from the American taxpayer, to come forward. At Treasury, we're setting up a website, and we will be giving rewards up to 10 to 30% of the fines that we levy.
10 to 30%. 30% is a large number. Do you have any idea the kind of money they think they're going to track down if they're offering 30% rewards? I'm excited to find out more from these fraud investigations. I'm excited, and at the same time, I'm dreading it. Does that make sense? Because I know I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to open up the paper. No one opens up the paper. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to open up my phone and I'm going to see some story. I'm going to start shaking with rage and yeah, get ready. At least we're starting to dig into it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show for you. Now, we got to gird our loins for these days to come. That's where Chalk comes in. We're not going to make it if we're weak and effeminate. If we're low T, and there's a solution for that. And no, I'm not talking about the 800 men's clinics that are on the corner in your hometown. I'm talking about natural herbal supplements from Chalk. You don't need a needle jammed in your arm. There's estrogen in the water, age, all kinds of things are attacking your testosterone. A male vitality stack from Chalk give you the boost you need. Look, 4 years I've been on one. 4 years, every single morning. Join me. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, before we get on the current Ukraine news, the current Ukraine news of John Solomon, I thought it would be helpful to do a little rewind because a lot of people forget what Ukraine has been like for quite some time. Joining me now, John Solomon, founder of Just the News, who has yet another breaking story. He seems to do that a lot. John, before we get to your yet another breaking story, though, I'd like to rewind a little bit before we even get to Joe Biden. Ukraine, a lot of people do not understand what kind of country this was before it became the belle of the ball worldwide. What kind of country was it?
It has always had a long history of corruption, political corruption. The norm in Ukraine for local politics is pay to play. That is the mindset of anyone. When I first started working on Ukrainian issues back about 14 years ago, I mean, having someone say, we pay journalists here for favorable stories, like, you got to be kidding me. Like, no, that really happens. Or, you know, everybody has to grease the palm of the regulator before a decision is made. So it grew out of the Soviet Republic. Among the Soviet republics, it was the one that had the worst reputation for corruption, even before it was freed from Soviet rule. And then, of course, after the 2013-2014 revolution, where a sitting president was thrown out in Ukraine and replaced by someone that the United States preferred more, the Obama administration preferred more, that corruption worked its way into the American story, first with Hunter Biden and the millions of dollars that Burisma paid. Then in 2016, there are very real concerns and direct proof that Ukraine tried to meddle in our elections, certainly by having its ambassador write an op-ed in the middle of the 2016 election saying, don't vote for Donald Trump, vote for Hillary Clinton, which in the history of elections had never happened before. We never saw a foreign power, an ally, weigh in real time on our presidential decision. And then you get to 2019, you've got the impeachment, which was Ukraine's effort to make it look like anyone who thought that the Hunter Biden relationship was corrupt was a wingding, a conspiracy theorist, when in fact, as we now know, it was all true. It was a corrupt relationship. And then that brings us to the fall and winter of 2022. That's my new story. In that environment, in that country, our national security agency, the NSA, intercepted some government communications of the Ukrainian government, senior government officials in the Zelensky administration. We don't know who, but we know they're senior from the report that was declassified. They are discussing a plot that they have apparently worked out with USAID workers in Kiev. So federal workers working for our foreign aid agency inside the State Department, USAID, talking about a way to concoct a $200 to $300 million clean energy grant for Ukraine. And just keep in mind that at the time they're concocting this, Ukraine is getting bombarded every day by Russia. They're not thinking about solar panels and windmills. They're trying to survive a war with Russia. But somehow, USAID thought it would be a good idea to route hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine for a clean energy project, then move that down to nonprofits. Nonprofits would move it to contractors. Contractors would move it to subcontractors. And 90%, that's the exact term in the intercepts that I made public the other day, 90% of our money that was going to be given to the clean energy project would then be laundered into Joe Biden's and the Democratic National Committee's campaign coffers ahead of the 2024 election. And remember, when we are in the fall of 2022, people are catching on that maybe Joe Biden isn't mentally all there. He screwed up Afghanistan, and we left there in shame. The open border has now become a crisis for American people. Young people are being killed by illegal aliens just marauding around in towns. So Joe Biden has a trouble raising money because of the fact that his policies and his own capabilities are being questioned. And it's at that moment our NSA intercepts a conversation about a plot to route hundreds of millions of our hard-earned tax dollars through a series of transactions, eventually laundering it into the Democratic Party's coffer to help them win the 2024 election. That is the story where we have it right now.
All right, John, as per usual, I'm going to ask some stupid questions you may not have the answer to yet, but I must know these things. First, do we know how far along this plot went? Did that money get there? Was it stopped? Do you have info on that?
Those are great questions. Yeah, great questions. So what we know is that this intercept was never investigated back in 22, 23, 24, while Joe Biden was in office. Not a surprise. And it only recently came to the attention of Tulsi Gabbard and John Ratcliffe, like in the last few weeks. They declassified the intercept so I could write about it and alert the American people to it. They did some initial investigation, and the current workflow right now is that USAID, now under the tutelage of the OMB director, is looking through email, seeing if they can find if the grant occurred, who was talking to the known Ukrainian official who was intercepted, and did this money change hands? If that happens, two things will happen. The civil part of it, the recovery of a whole bunch of money that shouldn't have gone out will go to J.D. Vance's new fraud task force to get the money back for the American people. And then two, if there was an effort and money was routed to Joe Biden or the DNC, the FBI would begin a criminal investigation. So right now they're in the fact gathering. All right, they found the conversation. It's very specific. They know the name of the Ukrainian government official they were sitting on. They know the name of two American companies. Now, I don't know the names because they were redacted, but they, the government, U.S. government, knows who the names of the two American companies were that were going to be the ultimate recipients of the money. It was their job to get it to Biden and the DNC. And they know that USAID and its Kiev office, the local Ukraine office of our foreign, was involved in it, but they don't know the names of the staffers. So USAID and Russ Vogt's job right now is to find these things out, find out if the money did change hands, and if it did, to then make a referral for prosecution and a referral for recovery of money.
Good God. You know what? I'm going to let this go for now because we're going to have you back when we get more information, and I have other questions. I'm just so friggin' mad at this point in time. All right, the No Kings protests. I didn't see a lot of noise, but granted, I don't get on social media much over the weekend. I know they were spread across the United States of America. Who's funding these things?
Well, from the work that we've done with the great Jerry Dunleavy, a great investigative reporter, it looks like there's a coalition of groups who filed the permits. When you look at that coalition, they have about $3 billion in nonprofit assets. They're all far left-leaning. Two of the most famous names are George Soros' group and Roy Neville Singham, a guy who is directly aligned with the Communist Chinese Party in China and Beijing, who openly embraces China and socialism and Marxism, and openly embraces everybody from Cuban socialists to Chinese communists. And so they are behind this. Why is that important? It's important for the American public to know these protests are not organic protests. They're not organic expressions of people's frustration with Donald Trump. They're paid and organized by people who have a clear agenda, and in some cases, at least in Singham's case, have direct contact with some of our most feverish enemies around the world, particularly Cuba and China.
All right. This is a huge question I'm about to ask, but I'm going to cobble it all together. Tish James, James Comey, John Brennan, these are all people who have been caught up in various legal matters since Trump took over again. A lot of this has gone nowhere so far. Is any of it going anywhere ever?
Yes, there is a bridge to somewhere very soon, as opposed to a bridge to nowhere. Right now, something very big happened last week. The United States Senate and the United States House transmitted, at the request of federal prosecutors in Miami, the official transcripts of John Brennan's conversations with Senate investigators and House investigators going all the way back to Russia collusion. Why is that important? You wouldn't need those official transcripts unless you were preparing to indict. You could use the unofficial transcripts to introduce people to the approximate answers and the approximate information that Brennan conveyed over time, or you could rely on the public reports. The fact that official certified Senate and House voted out transcripts were sent means that the grand jury is coming close to making a decision on indicting John Brennan on possibly lying to Congress and obstructing congressional investigation. Now, Tish James was indicted once. She got the case dismissed in Northern Virginia. But Bill Pulte just made a new referral. He is the federal housing director and the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, very powerful person. He found a Al Capone way of bringing a case against her. All right, the first case on Tish James got thrown out for mortgage fraud, but the same fraud that she allegedly committed in applying for her mortgage, she also likely committed in her homeowner's insurance. Lying on your homeowner's insurance application is a potential federal felony. He made referrals not to Northern Virginia, not to the District of Columbia, not to New York, where three places where the liberal jury pools could create nullification of such a case. He sent it to Chicago, which has a rich history of prosecuting and convicting Democrat crooks over the years, most recently the former Speaker of the Illinois House, Mike Madigan, and to Florida. By the way, the same federal prosecutor who's also looking at John Brennan and weaponization. So that referral was very specific. The evidence is very strong. Some of the evidence is what Tish James submitted herself in her earlier case that she got dismissed. So they're using her own documents against her now. And it looks like decisions on those two cases could be just a few weeks away. I wouldn't be surprised if in April the grand jury decides whether or not to indict John Brennan. Then I think Tish James could be there. And then while that's going on, there are a group of FBI supervisors who were involved in these pursuits of Donald Trump who are currently being criminally investigated, according to Kash Patel, on the record. He talked to us a few weeks ago, for possibly creating or inventing false predicates to open up an investigation that would ruin the life of Donald Trump or his followers. That could soon follow. That information was simply recently transmitted down to the Miami U.S. attorney, who's got all of the weaponization portfolio now. So I do think we will see decisions on prosecutions public one way or the other within the next few weeks.
Well, we'll take it. Fingers crossed. John, as always, thank you, sir. Come back soon. Eric Swalwell might be in some trouble. We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about this. I know you have a cell phone. Everybody does. I got that. But who do you pay every month? Because Verizon hates your guts. AT&T, T-Mobile, these large carriers despise you, and they take your money. Speaking of taking your money and using it for bad causes, they take your money and they use it to fund everything you hate. Enjoy that LGBTQ parade? You paid for it. Pure Talk doesn't do that. You never have to wake up and stress a bad headline about Pure Talk funding a child drag show. Their CEO fought in Vietnam, two tours. They hire Americans right here at home. That's very rare anymore. And they'll save you a bunch of money. And they're on the same tower, so you don't have to sit and stress, oh, I'm going to drop calls. No. You can keep your phone. Keep your number. There's no reason not to switch. I know that's a double negative. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
California blows me away. And I talked to you about this a couple weeks ago because I had to go out to California. I don't do a lot of travel, nor do I want to. But I had to go out to California because Adam Carolla was gracious enough to have me on his show. I love Adam. And I had to fly into Los Angeles. I hadn't been to Los Angeles in ages. And I told you this. Flying into Los Angeles, there was a Delta flight, I think. Flying into Los Angeles, and you're looking out the window and you think to yourself, man, this is freaking beautiful. You got the ocean, the ocean's right there, but then there's mountains surrounding Los Angeles, and you're thinking, man, I'm up here in this plane, it looks beautiful from up here. But then you land, leave the airport, you get in a cab, and you start heading into Los Angeles. And it's just one of those things like a Monet painting from far away. Wow. But up close, oh my gosh. You start driving through the thing, and it's homeless people, and it's crime, and it's filth, and it's just absolutely disgusting. California is a complete dump built on top of paradise. And it's this thing that has my morbid fascination, I'll put it that way. How could you have that much? Not just beautiful scenery, resources, an economy that's bigger than almost every country on the planet. I believe it's the fifth largest economy on the planet. If it were its own country, it's just enormous. And yet, bankrupt, destroyed. And look, I know what the poll numbers say about the California governor's race. The poll numbers are saying that there's going to be possibly a Republican. I don't believe it. I believe Eric Swalwell is going to be the next governor of California. And I hate to say it's true, but this guy right here.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
The guy who farted on camera. the guy who is, and this is saying something, he might be the biggest goober in politics.
I should be working right now. I should be in Congress. I should be voting to lower your costs. But instead, I'm in a pool because Republicans sent everyone home because they don't want to release the Epstein files. We could be working to lower your costs, make sure healthcare is affordable, and make sure we're restoring the rights of everyone in our committee. I should be working right now. I should be working right now. I should be at the Capitol. I should be in a suit. Instead, Republicans sent us home because they would rather stand up for Donald Trump than release the Epstein files and stand up for victims. We could be at Washington, D.C., lowering your healthcare costs, lowering your grocery costs, and restoring your rights. I should be working right now. Instead, I'm pumping iron at the gym.
Anyway, Eric Swalwell, he's one of these guys. You know how I tell you so many of these politicians, not all of them, but many, many of them, most of them, I would argue, they become politicians because they actually want access to the things rich people already have, but they don't have the talent to acquire those things. So you become a politician. When I say things like that, people think, okay, so that's steak dinners and first-class tickets and things like that. And of course, that is partially true. But another thing is hot women. Eric Swalwell is a total dork. Eric Swalwell, I'm 100% positive, has been rejected by women his entire life. So Eric Swalwell apparently didn't find anything suspicious about some Chinese dime named Fang Fang cozying up to him. This became a story back in the day. You remember, it was a few years ago, but it was a big story where it was quite obvious Eric Swalwell and the Chinese spy were a thing of some kind. I want to remind you of this little tidbit. At the time, Eric Swalwell was on the House Intelligence Committee. If you ever visit Capitol Hill and you can walk through the office buildings, you'll find the various committees, they're labeled on the door. It's just some doors there, and you'll be like the Ways and Means Committee, you know, all kinds of things. But the House Intelligence Committee is different. You'll notice it immediately because it has CIA-like security to get in there. Top secret stuff. So the man sitting on the House Intelligence Committee was cuddling with the Chinese spy. Well, because the FBI is full of committed communists, the FBI covered that whole thing up. Kash Patel recently announced he's going to be releasing some files on old Eric Swalwell. Swalwell, he's already out there trying to get ahead of the whole thing. Keep in mind, Fang Fang already left the country for reasons unclear. Here was Swalwell.
Do you suspect, because this wouldn't be the first time, that this is politically motivated?
I suspect it's politically motivated, Jim. I have the only lawsuit that has survived this presidency. It's me and the January 6 officers. I was an impeachment manager. I worked with Adam Schiff on the Russia investigation, and I'm a candidate for governor in California to start voting in about 35 days. These are dangerous individuals who have gone after over 500 political opponents and organizations, Donald Trump and the FBI.
Eric Swalwell might be in some trouble if those files actually come out. Again, that man might be, the odds-on favorite, the next governor of California, God forbid, but he might be. California, man. Anyway, we're moving on. You know why we're moving on? Because we have two big things happening in Congress, or not happening right now. We're not funding DHS. And where's the SAVE Act? Big controversy last week. Republicans said, well, here's a crappy DHS thing and no SAVE Act anyway. We're going home. John Thunes photographed cruising through the airport. That's a problem. We'll talk to Tony Kinnett about that in a moment. Before we talk to Tony, I want to remind you that I have a free book available for you. It's free. It's not a gimmick. My little red book, all kinds of thoughts on Republicans and Democrats and communism and food and everything underneath the sun, jessekelly.com. You go to jessekelly.com, you put in your email address, and that's it, jessekelly.com. email address, we email you the book. Totally free. Not trying to sign you up for a newsletter or something. That's it. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, what is happening in Congress right now? Well, it's nothing good. You know, we still have lines at the airport. TSA isn't funded. We don't have the SAVE Act. It's a big old smelly mess. Tony will work it all out for us. Joining me now, Tony Kinnett, host of the Tony Kinnett Cast. He's also Wish with the Daily Signal. All right, Tony, first of all, let's focus on the DHS shutdown portion of this. I think a lot of people thought, well, okay, Democrats will throw a hissy fit for a couple weeks, and then after a little show thing, then they'll fund it, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
No, and it's really all down to the fact that Chuck Schumer is terrified of his own shadow, and he's decided that while Mazie Hirono is out there tweeting nonsensically, he's lost all of his caucus. And if he flakes, if he folds on this, and Republicans get DHS funding through, and Americans see that Chuck Schumer's about as useful as a flat doorstop, then he has nothing else to do. And it's kind of a midterm year. He's supposed to get out there and fundraise on things. And so he's going to call it Jim Crow 2.0 and the super unregulated militia and all this other kind of nonsense. And while he's out there pushing those things through, at least that kind of a stopgap through, Republicans are kind of slapping amongst themselves in Congress. You see some in the House that are just serving up bills to the Senate, like orders from Waffle House, quick, fast, to the point, right in front of you. And then once those get over there, you have the two-headed Republican elephant here. You have the Susan Collins and the Mitch McConnell crew who says they don't really want to pass anything through and they don't really want to get things moving. And then you have the other side that wants to force things through, nuking the filibuster. It's almost like Republicans have decided to stop here and argue over long-term plans amid this shutdown, which Democrats have decided to take as like an early political victory. I don't really think the data bears that out. They're already kind of folding in different ways. It's really going to hurt Fetterman. It's going to hurt Ossoff and Warnock down in Georgia. It's kind of like Charlie Brown going after the football. I just don't think it's going to play out for him.
Okay, let's nail down on that, the numbers and how this could hurt these purple state people like Fetterman and Ossoff. Why is it hurting them? What is it? What's happening?
Because America, we like results. We like deliverables. We like you to say, I'm going to do this, this, and this for the American people. Jesse, this is something you've been talking about for ages. And when they don't get that at their doorstep, when instead they get empty promises, you're used to hearing that from your core red state and your core blue state senators. But your purples, they're supposed to deliver. And instead, they're not delivering. What we see is Fetterman looking at media and saying, Well, I don't really know what's going on. And then you see the same thing from Ossoff. He gets out and he tries to do this pseudo-preaching. The crowds are getting smaller and smaller. And Democrats really don't have a lot of purple seats to spare in this midterm election. They've kind of tossed away all of the early political momentum that they had at the beginning of the year. And so now you have to deliver something. Well, if the only thing you can deliver benefits Republicans, you're kind of screwing yourself out of your own victory party because you are satisfying Americans who are no longer wanting the things that Democrats have been screaming about all weekend in these No Kings protests. So what do you actually have to bring for them? Who's going to raise money for your campaign if the only people who are supporting either the action you do take or the action you don't take are Republicans? It's only a maneuver. I guess they're really between a rock and a hard place here. There's no place for them really to go, and so they're just stuck kind of complaining on Twitter.
Okay, so Chuck Schumer, I want to come back to Chuck Schumer because he's operating as a man who is afraid, clearly is a man who's afraid. I'm certainly not challenging you on that, but unless I'm mistaken, Tony, and please feel free to correct me, Chuck Schumer is retiring. Afraid of what? He's leaving.
So Chuck Schumer's supposed to be leaving behind some type of corporate oligarchy for the party. He has the individuals who are underneath him who are supposed to keep the party moving, but the momentum isn't behind the corporate Democrats. Like you said, they're all out to pasture. They're leaving. Chuck Schumer wants a little bit of that after good, after he's out of the Senate. After all, the reason to run for the Senate is for the stuff that's after you're out of the Senate. And so for Chuck Schumer here, what he's terrified of, what he's trying to maneuver his way through, is not giving all of the goods to the radical left-wing progressives that are coming up behind him. But again, he doesn't really have a place to win here either. He's trying to stall for time to raise money, but the only energy is behind the young progressives. You hear Chuck terrified of mentioning the name Zoran Mamdani in any kind of real context because those young, energetic Marxists are holding the knife and they're coming for his back like it's, you know, the Ides of March. So Schumer doesn't have a lot of room here, and he's made that bed for himself, but he still wants some kind of future for himself after he's out of the Senate.
All right, let's switch and do one of my favorite things, and that's trash loser Republicans. Why can't we get the SAVE Act passed?
I mean, cowardice, laziness, apathy, take your pick, Jesse. You have a lot of people who just want to run for the Senate, again, for the stuff after it, right? They want to be president themselves someday, or they want to, again, go to that great fundraised hell beyond the sky. And I think that's what we're looking at here. You see a lot of senators like Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, who are just these embittered old individuals next to these apathetic red and purple state senators who just don't want to do anything useful. We all know the filibuster has an expiration date. We all know it's coming to a close. Kyrsten Sinema's no longer in the Senate. Joe Manchin, no longer in the Senate. So who's going to be your stopgap to defend the filibuster for Democrats now? What, John Fetterman? That dude flakes like bad dandruff. So I don't really see what it is that they can pull out here as a reason to keep the filibuster around other than good sentiment and, you know, good old time sitting around the establishment table here. So they're just trying to futz around. They're lazy. They don't actually want to do anything that gets them calls on their phone, as you and I know. That's what they really fear. They don't like it when people call them mean and unkind and uncaring. And if they pass through the Save America Act, people are going to call them unkind and unfeeling and, oh, you're taking away voters' rights from poor black women who are too stupid and poor to go get a voter ID. It's really weak, but that is unfortunately what some of the Republican conference in the Senate's made out of.
How much of this comes back to the Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump feud? It's not exactly a Washington, D.C. secret that these two men hate each other. Mitch McConnell's retiring. He's half dead already. He just wants to screw Trump one more time. He controls Lisa Murkowski's vote. It just seems pretty obvious, right?
I think so. And this is one of the weird kinds of spite that irks so many Americans. That I send you to the Senate as my senator in order to engage on the interests of, for me, my state, Indiana. And when I see Todd Young making excuses instead of actually passing legislation through, and I'm the one who takes it on the chin, not Todd, or when I see Susan Collins doing this for Maine or Lisa Murkowski from Alaska or these other flake-in, flake-out kind of purple senators, you do see a lot of individuals who feel spurned on this kind of thing because there's no reason for you to sit there and take some principled approach, at least that's what they call it. Principled to what? Decline? They won't actually move forward with, for example, putting American citizens first. They'll stand and clap when the president talks about that at the State of the Union and then turn around and start throwing all of their effort and weight behind Somali chambers of Congress and other kinds of migrant nonsense that have become such a bad taste in the mouths of Americans.
A Somali Chamber of Commerce. I'll be honest with you, Tony, I try to stay pretty informed in politics, but it was probably 48 hours ago when I discovered that that was an actual thing. And in case people were confused, that's not a thing Democrats are currently aligning themselves with. That's Republicans? Do I have that right?
Yeah, if you take any left-wing cause and you put Chamber of Commerce after it, it becomes a pseudo-Republican clause. There's a Chamber of Commerce for Somali migrants, of course, in Ohio that are now endorsing Vivek Ramaswamy because he's very light on the H-1B visa issue. And again, this is something that is made, as you put, you and I kind of one-party or one-issue voters. This not putting Americans first stuff is leaving a really bad taste in the mouth of many who are going to go into Senate and gubernatorial elections coming up in this midterm.
Yeah, a bad taste in our mouths, to put it mildly. We'll call it the Lindsey Graham. Tony, thank you so much. I appreciate it, sir. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And to lighten the mood, we're going to go make fun of our brothers to the north, Canada. They had a little argument. They had a little argument, and I just want you to sit back and enjoy and just be thankful.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thankful you weren't there.
There's a point of privilege on microphone one, then we'll go to microphone three. Go ahead, delegate.
Yes, hello. I was standing here with my gender equity card before you called on the previous speaker. That's my point of privilege that I would like to raise.
I will explain the speaking order, which is fixed, that I cannot amend, which is the pro-con rotation. You can move yourself up a line that you're standing in.
I am pro, and I was...
We went...
You went pro-con.
We went pro-con. Pro, and my plan was to go con. The speaker at Con Mic 3 also has a speaking card.
Yesterday, this card was used in an inappropriate manner. And while I understand in Ontario we know this as equity, even if that, this was also used inappropriately in terms of gender. I want everyone to be mindful that these cards for individuals like myself who identify as a Black woman have no value outside of this space.
That was so good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.